1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. Please take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter 1. If you don't have an outline, please raise your hand and Chuck will get you one right away. You'll have the main points. Hold those hands high and Chuck will bring you one. That's great. Thanks for being here. 1 Peter chapter 1. I like to read verses 14, 15, and 16. These are great days to be looking at 1 Peter. It is just so relevant. And thank you for coming to study with us. 1 Peter chapter 1, follow along in your Bible this morning, picking up in verse 14, where Peter writes, "As obedient children, children of obedience, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy.'" Father, great passage this morning. Please teach us through your Spirit. Thanks for the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. The big points I believe Peter is making in this section are written out for you on this little outline, and those points are this. Those who cultivate Christian hope, and that's focusing on our salvation, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who cultivate Christian hope must also cultivate personal holiness. God calls his people out of a world of sin to live a life of holiness, and he expects that whatever we do, say, or think, be holy. That are the big ideas in these verses this morning. There's a verse I want to read to you before we jump into the text a little bit. And that's found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, verse 14. It's a strong verse. And I've discovered that a lot of commentators in their books just overlook it. They don't explain what it's really talking about. The author of Hebrews, in his practical section, says this, Hebrews 12, 14. He says, "Pursue peace with all men and pursue holiness." That's consecrated life, that's sanctification. Then he says this, "Without which no one will see the Lord." Without which no one will see the Lord. That's strong. That's pretty strong. Pursuing peace means get out there loving people. Take care of people. Pursuing holiness means loving God and striving to be like him. And notice what the text doesn't say. It doesn't say you will not see the Lord if you don't pursue this. It says no one will see the Lord. What does that verse mean? And that's where a lot of people ignore it when they're writing about it because they don't know what it means. I just read one of my favorite Bible teachers said this. He said that verse means that if you and I are not out there demonstrating God, just being holy, demonstrating our Heavenly Father, people are not going to hear the gospel. They will not see the Lord. No one will see the Lord. That is very, very pertinent for the day in which we're living in and the task that we have been given. Question we want to ask, how are we to live in a day of coming trouble? That's the question they were asking back in Peter's day. How are we to live? All too often we lean on our own understanding. So Peter, in these verses, gives us a better solution. And the solution is this. It's the big idea. Demonstrate holiness. Be in practice who you are by position. Live out who you are in Jesus Christ. There's two objections I have for this morning. I'd like to cover these verses in a little different way than I did last week. I want to dig in a little different way. And then I want to go through J.C. Ryle's 6 points out of his 12 points on practical holiness. I mentioned his book last week, Holiness in 1877, still a bestseller. I encourage you to get a copy of this. Just in case we get locked down or you have to stay in your home, here's a great book to spend time with. It comes out with different publishers, different colors, but Holiness, very good book, very weighty, very, very biblical. And we'll get into his book a little bit this morning as he deals with the Word of God. By the way, I'm very thankful for many wonderful books and messages on holiness. There's a renewed interest today like never before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. And I didn't write this one out for you, but Paul says in 1 Thess 4, verse 3, he says, "This is the will of God, your holiness."
This is the will of God, your sanctification, all of us. Three verses, three main ideas this morning. Roman numeral one, and I had a request to put the blanks back so you could fill them in, so that's why we're doing that, okay? Number one, we see in verse 14, there's a warning concerning conforming. There's a warning concerning conforming. 1 Peter 1, verse 14, again, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. Peter's good at reminding people who they are. Remember who your father is in heaven. Remember your inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Remember that God begotten you totally by grace. You're a believer. You have a direction. And then Peter calls us in verse 14, listen here, to be permanently out of step with the unsaved world of which we used to be a part. It is a call to be different. Somebody talked to me about this the other day and said, you know what people heard you say when you said don't conform anymore? That means you don't have to wear a mask. That's not what Peter's talking about, okay? If you're looking for a verse that says you don't have to wear a mask, there's probably some good ones in the Old Testament, okay? But this isn't one of them, okay? I have to say that. I want to clarify that. Peter tells us that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, have been given a different guidebook for life. What is that guidebook? It is the Word of God. And we'll get into that a little bit. We're not to live basically on what we think is right or common sense or rationalism or current thought or styles or opinion, but we need to be in line with God, His agenda, His mindset. James would often go in writing for the jugular vein, right? James was very blunt. You never had to guess what James was talking about. And James says this, James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Here is bottom line. You want to know what God expects? Here it is. James says to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Who is that category of people? You take care of people who are not going to pay you back. You take care of people who are needy. And then he says this, and it is to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's holiness. That's consecration. That is sanctification. When you get to John's thinking, particularly 1 John, John tells us that if we end up conforming all the time, we're actually wasting our time, we're wasting our resources. We're just throwing good money out the window, because he reminds us, and you know this verse well, I am sure, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, he says this, this world in its present form is what? Passing away. It's not lasting. And if you waste your life by conforming to the system, you're wasting your life in something that's not going to last. It is not eternal. And by the way, what do you have to do to conform to the system? What do you have to do? Nothing. Nothing. You'll just end up going with the flow. You'll end up going with the culture. You'll end up being dragged down. There's a warning concerning conforming, and we said more about that last week. There's another exhortation in verse 15, Roman numeral 2. There's an exhortation here, a strong exhortation to pursue holiness, to pursue holiness. And that's our obligation, everybody's obligation, to live out who we are before the watching world. Verse 15, as he who called you is holy, that's God, you be holy in all your conduct, in all your conduct. Be like God, be separate, be different. Represent heaven. And notice the verse says, in all your conduct. See the three little letter word, all? That is where I get stuck and maybe you get stuck, because I like choices. You like choices? I like options. And one of the things with the pandemic, or whatever you want to call it, it has limited some of our options and some of our choices. Have you found that going shopping for your Thanksgiving dinner. My wife gave me a list of all kinds of things, and there are some things they just don't have anymore. They're not going to be restocked, and who knows when they're coming back. We like our options. I remember when things started opening up a little bit, Sue and I went out to eat, and we went to a particular restaurant. Somebody gave us a gift card, and I noticed that their menu was limited, and the prices went up. We couldn't have everything. The options were not as bountiful as they used to be. Many items, as I said, are still hard to get, but we like our options. My wife, Emily came up for Thanksgiving holiday with her husband. So when Emily arrives, it's sort of like Christmas coming. And she came with her husband to do some painting for my wife, a big project. And you know this, don't you? When was the last time you did some painting? There are too many options when it comes to paint. Do you know that? There's too many options. I like white and blue. All right? That's God's colors. If you want to throw in a little green. So my wife had to pick. She's probably watching this, so I'm not going to say a whole lot. But we were at a paint store the other day, and she said, well, we have to get some white paint. Hey, that's the piece. Okay, get some white paint. And I know they have white, and less white. Man, they have 99 choices of white paint. What do you do? And you know what? You know, true. It looks one way in the store and one way when you take it home, right? And one way in the... anyhow, we love our options. And I know you do. We have music choices. We have viewing choices. We have church choices. And the problem with all that, as fun as they all are, often when it comes to living the Christian life, we want options. We want options. Holiness is okay, but I want the consecrated life my way. All right? It was that way going to college. We're not going to go to this Bible college because they're too strict. We're going to go to this one because it doesn't have as many rules, and we go on and on like that. Some may say, I'll just be a regular Christian. You know, I've trusted Christ, I'm going to heaven, and if I'm not going to be as aggressive like Dr. Cohen is or Adam Friedenstein or missionaries, that's not who I am. I'm going to be just a plain old Christian. Or some may think, I'll obey God's word as long as it makes sense. Well, how many understand the word of God doesn't always make sense when God tells us to do something? Or we may be like... I'm going to be careful here. We may say, I like whatever it is too much to stop doing it. I'll tell you what, I struggle with things in life. You struggle with things in life that we know we really shouldn't be doing or thinking or saying, but we like that option. And God says, guess what? There's no choice. You'd be like me. You'd be holy. And that means there's certain places you don't go. There are certain things you don't take part of. There are certain people you don't hang around with, and the list goes on. And when you want to take some time in the Sunday school hour, and I encourage you, if you can, to stay. And if you just like to make some hot chocolate or coffee and hang around and chat and fellowship, that's great. If you'd like to come in here, that's great. We want to talk about the difference between holiness standards and legalism, because we often confuse the two a little bit. Peter often offers no options. When it comes to holiness, we're expected to be like God. And then number three on your notes, he gives us the reason. He gives us the reason. And the reason is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, because it is written. Bottom line, God says, I said so. You're to be holy because I am holy. It is written, I said so. Bottom line. Has your father ever pulled that one on you when you were younger? You wanted an explanation for something, or why did you have to do this or that? Did he ever just say, Mike, you ever say to your kids, because I said so? I always got in trouble with some of my kids when I didn't do that, when I tried to give all these explanations and reasons and sometimes you just say, guess what? I'm the dad, and that's how it is, all right? Because I said so. That's what's going on here. That's what's going on here. Peter appeals to the written word, and the written word demands obedience. Bottom line. Peter, when talking about holiness, dips into Leviticus, and we're not really sure exactly what chapter and verse he had in mind. Sometimes you can tell and sometimes you can't. So I just want to take a few moments this morning to read these verses to you from Leviticus. You could find them, if you like, Leviticus beginning in verse 11, because you probably will not go home and read them on your own. So I'm going to read them to you. How's that? All right? Leviticus chapter 11. Verse 44 and 45. And the concept here, when God said to be holy, was not only be like him and being different from everybody else around you, being unique, not getting involved in certain things. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45, God said this through Moses. He wrote, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves." Set yourself apart for me. "And you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For, verse 45, I, the Lord, who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." You're to be different. You are to be unique. You are to be like me. That's what God said. Leviticus chapter 8, the end of chapter 18, beginning of verse 19, if you want to find that. I'll read those verses, beginning with Leviticus chapter 18, verse 30, the last verse in that chapter, and the first two verses of 19. The word of God says, "Therefore you shall keep my ordinances, so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am the Lord your God." And then he says this, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Bottom line, you're to be holy, for I am holy. And then Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 7, same concept here again. You are to distance yourself. You are to separate yourselves. You are to be different. Consecrate yourselves, verse 7. "Therefore, be holy, be different, be distinct, for I am the Lord your God." Bottom line, word of God says, God says, "I said so. I said so." And Heavenly Father demands obedience. It is authoritative. It is absolute. We are to stop conforming. We're to pursue holiness because God said so, and He is our Father. Now, let me go to a question this morning. I want to dip into Bishop J.C. Ryle just a little bit for a few moments. What is true practical holiness then? I want to dip into Dr. Ryle's third chapter where he discusses holiness quite a bit. I can't recommend J.C. Ryle's book enough, but let me give you six of his descriptions out of 12 of holiness. And I think really looking at the first one, if you get the first one, you get all of them because this is pretty powerful. Ryle says, bottom line, number one, holiness is the habit of being one mind with God. Holiness is the habit of being one mind with God. That kind of says it all. That means agreeing with God's judgment, thinking God's thoughts, loving what God loves, hating what God hates. There are certain things God hates. It means really, and you know all this, it means measuring everything in the world by the standard of God's word, the Bible. It's a call to biblical discernment that comes through practice. And really, although Ryle didn't talk about this, it's another reason why we need the church, why we need to be fellowshipping, why we need to be encouraging and confronting one another. Holiness is the habit of being one mind with God. You know, I knew for the most part my earthly father's mind. And you probably knew your father's mind as well. Did you ever get the look? Every now and then I got the look and the shoe, you know, once in a while, you know. I mean, I knew the look. I knew my father's mind. And, you know, I grew up in a generation when dad didn't have to be around. You know, I knew what he was thinking and I knew what he would say, all right? That's kind of what Ryle's talking about here, knowing God's mind. My friend John Oldham, is the director of Harvey Cedars Bible Conference. This is a great place. And every summer they have like 50, 60 teenagers come to be part of the summer staff. And several years ago, he brought on his daughter and his son-in-law to run the summer staff. That is a big operation. I mean, we got 50, 60 teenagers. If you have two teenagers, that's a big operation. He has like 50, 60 of them. So he brought on his daughter to run the staff. And I was talking to him at dinner one night, and John more or less said to me, you know what? She knows exactly what I am thinking, and she will carry out the desires of her earthly father. Because why? She knows his mind. And because of that, he could relax and say, you know what? She's great. You know what? My daughter Emily, she knows what I'm thinking. And every now and then she intervenes in particular situations because she knows my mind. She knows what I like. And what I don't like, praise God, you know, good girl. Holiness is the habit of being one mind with God. And if we're going to be one mind with God, you have to spend time in the book daily. Because everything around us is pulling away our minds away from God's mind. You spend time in the Word of God to know what God wants us to think. Thinking like God, right? Second observation. A holy man will endeavor, and we say holy man is holy man, holy woman, will endeavor to shun every known sin and to keep every commandment. Holy man will endeavor to shun every known sin and to keep every commandment. There's a great fear when it comes to displeasing the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 128, therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. And then the psalmist said, therefore I hate every false way. A holy man will endeavor to shun every known sin and to keep every commandment. And we're not talking about being perfect. No one's perfect. We're talking about a heart direction that wants to please the Heavenly Father. Number three, and this one's sort of all-inclusive as well, a holy man will strive to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle John said that when he wrote in 1 John 2:6, he who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. And if we're going to strive to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, it means continual disciple-making, continual discipleship. Continue encouraging one another to obey, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, a holy man will follow after purity of heart. Concerned about purity. I'm not hearing that a lot today. Do you hear a lot about purity? There used to be, not that many years ago, a discussion about what we should be looking at and not looking at. What we should be listening to and not listening to. I don't hear that discussion anymore. Maybe I'm not around the right circles. I don't know. But there doesn't seem to be the concern there used to be with heart purity. Listen to Ryle. Let me quote him here. He says this, talking about a holy man. Listen, Ryle says, he knows his own heart is like tinder and will diligently keep clear of the sparks of temptation. Let me read that again. That is profound. He knows his own heart is like tinder and will diligently keep clear of the sparks of temptation. You know what that means? That means that man or that woman, young or old, concerned about pursuing holiness, knows when to turn away, knows when to turn it off, knows when to run. I asked my son-in-law a number of years ago, why when you go to the Fox News webpage, do you have to deal with all that sleazy advertisement, all the stuff on there? And he said they know exactly what they're doing. They're trying to bring in the young guys. They're trying to bait them. And the young conservative guys who still have sin in the heart. Ryle says you stay away from that. You turn away from that. And a godly man, a godly one will know that there's certain things you just turn away from, you run away from it, because it will just inflame the heart. He goes on to say, few Christians, and he's writing in 1877, few Christians are ever too watchful and too particular about this point. What did Solomon say in Proverbs 4:23? You know that verse. What did he say? He said, above all else, do what? Above all else, do what? Guard that heart. Guard that heart, for from it flow the issues of life. A holy man will follow after purity of heart. Number five, a holy man will follow after the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, and that's going to come up in 1 Peter 1 in a couple weeks from now. But way back in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 15, there's a little verse there that talks about this. And Nehemiah was talking about the way he operated and how he wanted to be godly and how he wanted to be different from the ways others operated. And in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 15, Nehemiah says this. He wrote, but the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver, overtaxed them, overburdened them. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people. And then Nehemiah says, but I did not do that. I did not do that. So, and he says, here's the reason why. Because of the fear of God. Nehemiah said, I feared God. I'm concerned about holiness. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what's right. You know, that's what we need to pray for our leaders, that whether we like them or not, that they would develop and come to a fear of God in their own personal lives besides trusting Christ, a fear of God, and do what is right. Number six, last one we want to mention. The holy man, the holy woman will aggressively follow after spiritual mindedness. The psalmist in Psalm 119:57 says, you are my portion, Psalm 119:57. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your word. That is spiritual mindedness. A longing to actually live like our treasures are in heaven and that we're a kingdom citizen down here representing God before the watching world. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 says, this is the will of God, your holiness, your sanctification, your being different before the watching world. And Hebrews 12, verse 14, that strong exhortation to pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And in the midst of suffering and tribulation and worse persecution to come, Peter was instructing the believers back here, you know what? What you need to be doing as you're going through this is to demonstrate before all those watching what God is like. And maybe some will come to repentance. Maybe some will come to repentance and one day give glory for God. Let's bow this morning. Holiness is a tough topic. Sanctification is and purity are tough topics because we need to hear them, and they sting. And before I close in prayer this morning, there may be something you are doing, involved with, that you may need to either stop doing or get rid of, and perhaps only you know. That's God's will for us. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that's God's will. There's no doubt about it. 100%. Your holiness, your purity, your consecration and sanctification, you're being like the Lord Jesus Christ, which means we need to be in the constant habit of repenting of sin and cleaning house, right? Because there's always something we don't need. Perhaps it's something you're looking at or listening to or involved with or someone you're hanging around with, or it could be, you know what it is. And it's a great time before we transition. It's a great time to just, in the quietness of your heart, to confess that as sin before the Lord. We're promised purity and cleansing if we confess our sin. And ask the Spirit of God for the strength to be able to run from it and pursue what is right. I really appreciate Ryle where he said a holy man will develop the habit of being one mind with God. Father, do that surgery in our hearts that we need, all of us. Lord, there's continual house cleaning that we need to be involved with repenting and confessing sin and pursuing you. And Father, give us the great joy of walking in obedience. Father, it's our desire in the midst of a very confusing culture right now that may really turn against the church very shortly in aggressive ways. We pray that we would be more devoted than ever before to representing you. Loving what you love before the watching world, hating what you hate, and doing it with a gentle spirit, being like you, our Father in heaven. And Father, we want to bring you joy and glory as well, in Jesus' name. Amen.